Baseball Weekly is on the air.
This is Wayne Larrabee with the publisher and editor of Pro Football Weekly, Hub Arkush, and the Pro Football Weekly staff. Welcome to an in-depth look at professional football. Coming up, big-time openers across the board, none bigger than Green Bay, San Francisco in Lambeau Field.
We'll get you up to speed on where Adrian Peterson and Maurice Jones-Drew are to start the season and injury concerns for their openers in Kansas City and San Diego.
It's all just ahead on Pro Football Weekly.
Pro Football Weekly is on the air.
Along with the publisher and editor of Pro Football Weekly, Hub Arkush, this is Wayne Larrabee. Welcome to this kickoff edition of Pro Football Weekly. The way we hear it features news and information gathered by the editors and reporters of Pro Football Weekly, and we begin this week with senior editor Nolan Oraki, the author of Pro Football Weekly's draft publication series. Nolan, you've come across a publication that is shedding more light on the Spygate scandal of some 5 years ago involving Coach Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Tell us about it.
Well, the book came out, and it really shed some light on the 31-game home winning streak in the modern era. It's very difficult to achieve. The Patriots also had five seasons where they recorded 8-0 records. And the book really, I think, forces fans to reconsider some of those accomplishments and tried to show that maybe it wasn't all that possible to do in an ethical approach.
You know, it's interesting, some of the footnotes from the book, or not footnotes, but I'll call them Cliff's Notes, Nolan, the book points out that a number of league executives like to shine a light on the fact they haven't won a Super Bowl since the scandal. A lot of other teams haven't since also. But also some other league executives saying Patriots knew when blitz packages were coming before they came. There's positive football explanations, too, which is the addition of senior advisor Floyd Reese, who was very successful down in Tennessee. So it's hard to know where the controversy stops and just the Patriot way of finding good football players and having an outstanding coach starts.
Yeah, the Patriots beat the Titans 59-0 in Foxborough. That was in 2009, 2 years after this all started. And there's some people around the league that believe not a lot has changed in Foxborough. I think you got to give a lot of credit to Bill Belichick for being the best in the league at information gathering. When it comes to gathering intelligence, no one goes out of their way more and knows where to find information and how to use that as a competitive advantage. I think it's been a part of the fabric of the game for a long time, and I think it's an area that the New England Patriots definitely excel at. I think it's a big reason why they've had the success that they've had.
All right, thank you very much, Nolan. Game coming up against the Titans this weekend for the New England Patriots, who will be on the road in this Week 1 encounter. Associate Editor Arthur Arkush joins us in. Arthur, in Jacksonville, Maurice Jones-Drew, as everyone knows, he's going to come back sooner or later. He came back last week at camp, essentially, without a new contract. I'm going to ask you this. What does it do for or even to the Jags that they have their disgruntled star back in camp?
Well, I don't think there's any question they're a better football team now that Maurice Jones-Drew is back in the fold. I think, you know, the real question is how long it's going to take him to get back up to speed. Mike Mularkey's already said he's not going to be the starter in Week 1 against the Vikings. He's going to play more of a third down role. And
you know, Arthur, the one thing we never hear enough about, maybe talk enough about, is what are you hearing is the reaction of his veteran teammates? Because basically he just took the summer and training camp off to no good end.
Yeah, he did, but you know, everything we're hearing is that the teammates are able to separate the business side of things, that they really have a lot of empathy for each other when they're dealing with these types of situations. So I don't think that there's any ruffled feathers in the locker room or anything like that. I think they're ready to welcome back their best offensive player. The good news is that Rashad Jennings has been a real bright spot throughout camp, and they think that he can definitely shoulder the load until Jones-Drew is ready to get back there.
And Arthur, that defense in Jacksonville, that's pretty legit, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're going to have a chance to show some improvement even over where they were last season, which was a marked improvement over 2010. So I think better health will take that unit a long way, and they've got the talent level. I mean, if Andre Branch, that second-round kid, can make an immediate impact as a pass rusher, I think this is a unit that can really surprise some people and keep Jacksonville in a lot of games this season.
Associate Editor Arthur Arkush, we welcome in another Associate Editor, Dan Parr. Dan, in Chicago, much speculation over the left knee of Brian Urlacher, the future Hall of Fame middle linebacker. He says he's ready for the opener. What do you hear?
It sounds like that Brian Urlacher, so far, has returned to practice and things have been going okay. They expect him to be ready to play against the Colts, but the question is then, with a short turnaround, you have a Thursday game against the Packers, How does that knee respond to the first real game action that he's had since he first injured it in the season finale last year? I think that that's the long-term issue for the Bears is how do they handle this? How do they treat this deal in a long-term way? Going out against the Colts and playing won't be a revelation, but if he can make it through the whole season with this knee issue without missing time, that may be.
Well, and the interesting story here, Dan, is what went on during the offseason and all the intrigue and all the denials. The Bears and Urlacher denied emphatically that he had had anything done to the knee at all since the injury in the final game of the season last year in Minnesota. Then it turns out he traveled overseas to see doctors in Germany for the, quote, spinning procedure that they're doing where they replace blood cells and try and heal the knee that way as opposed to with surgery. Comes back to training camp. He's off all summer. Then he can't practice more than 3 days before he misses a week. Then he has a scope. Now he's acknowledging, even though he's going to play against the Colts this Sunday, he'll probably have to take practices off during the season. So clearly they're saying this knee is not going to be the same again this year, if at least this year, if ever.
Yeah, Brian Urlacher has acknowledged after trying to make it sound like no big deal for the few times he spoke with the media about it before that this is never going to be the same that it was before. This is an issue that he's going to have to deal with for the rest of his career, however long that is. This is a 34-year-old player going into his contract year. You have to expect that he's going to be very careful with how he plays, but he has to balance that against being a highly competitive player. It's what's led him to be so successful. He wants to be out there. We know he's dying to be out there in week one and to be out there for every week that the Bears have a game. So they really had to wonder just how much they're going to get out of him right away, what percent he's going to be at, and then what percent he will be at against in a big game in week two against the Packers on short rest.
And if he doesn't play the way he has normally played, he won't get the contract he's looking for at the end of the deal. Back with more Way We Hear It when we continue on Pro Football Weekly. You're listening to Pro Football Weekly, featuring the publisher and editor, Hub Arkush, and the Pro Football Weekly staff. Senior editor Eric Edholm joins us. Eric, one of your teams, the Philadelphia Eagles, the owner Jeffrey Loria came out late in training camp and warned another 8-8 season and Coach Reed's job could be on the line.
Yeah, it sounds like Loria is reaffirming what he said earlier in the offseason when Reed was allowed to return, that another 8-8 season just isn't going to cut it. And you know, it's interesting because Reed's contract goes through 2013. He's been asking for an extension. His agent, Bob Lamont, one of the more powerful coaches' agents in the business, has been really pressing the issue, making it a public thing. And Lurie's resisted. He wants to see results. He obviously was extremely disappointed. He took last season's disappointment probably harder than anybody. So this is one of those stories I think that's going to probably last throughout the course of the season. We probably won't get an answer until we know to the fate of the 2012 Eagles.
You know, and there's been so much change in the Eagles organization. Joe Banner is gone. Howie Roseman in charge now. Lurie, of course, has gone through a high-profile divorce. And then you've got the Philadelphia fans and the tragic off-season situation or preseason situation with Andy Reid's family. Could there be any more pressure in that Eagles locker room right now?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, everything this team has gone through, you have to think that they're going to get tougher from it. But, you know, that doesn't always translate to wins on the field. And they know that's the bottom line. As cold hard as that sounds, that's the answer they would give us if we asked them about it. So, you know, I think that's what it boils down to. You've got the Michael Vick situation. Obviously, he's in kind of a flashpoint season as well. All the injuries that he sustained throughout his career, you know, got to prove that he can stay on the field. And I think Reed believes he's got the team to do it this year, and I think that's the mindset that he and his coaching staff have right now.
Yeah, and they finished well down the stretch last year, winning their last four. Meanwhile, in Minnesota, Adrian Peterson, whose season ended last year with a devastating knee injury, from what I understand, Eric is making a miraculous recovery and, in fact, may play this week. What do you hear?
Yeah, Wednesday was a big day for the team. That was the first day that that defenders were allowed to sort of freely go after Peterson in practice and hit him in any way they see fit. And so, you know, that was really the first time they had had full, true contact against Peterson. He'd taken some hits. He'd done some 9-on-7 stuff. He'd done some 11-on-11 contact work in practice, but there have been restrictions. They didn't allow their guys to go low on him, obviously. I've heard that there's some hesitancy in Peterson lately in the last couple of days, just maybe not fully trusting the knee, and that's to be understood. It's less than a year removed, really 9 months removed from the injury. So My guess is that if he plays Sunday, it's going to be light work, that Toby Gerhart will get the lion's share of the carries. But I know how much it means to Peterson and how much he really wants to be out there and show himself, show the fans, show the team that he can be out there and carry the load at some point.
Thank you very much, Eric. Associate Editor Kevin Fishbane joins us. San Diego Chargers rebuilt their roster, added some weapons on the perimeter on the offensive side, but big concerns at offensive left tackle. Jared Gaither's missed most of this camp, Kevin. Is he going to be able to go this week?
It doesn't look like he's going to play week one, Wayne, which means an undrafted rookie, Mike Harris, is going to be protecting Phillip Rivers' blind side on Monday night against Oakland. And it's a problem for San Diego because they just don't have a timetable on Jared Gaither. It's a back spasm issue. He's been very defensive about it, and we know that Gaither's had some work ethic problems or questions earlier in his career. They gave him the big contract at the end of last season, and then now here he is. He hasn't been practicing, not since late July. And you look at what everything A.J. Smith did this offseason to bolster this roster, and offensive line has a big depth problem. The tackles that he brought in didn't pan out, and really they have nothing behind the undrafted rookie Mike Harris.
Well, I think the scary thing here, Kevin, is when you look at last season and the mystery of the Chargers, clearly the interceptions by Phillip Rivers was the biggest piece of it, but a lot of people chalk that up to the terrible pass protection and poor offensive line play. So for all the changes during the offseason, it sounds like they come out opening day pretty much where they finished last year.
Yeah, it really does. You know, the one thing that also hurt them, Hub, was losing Brandon Dombrowski to an injury. They didn't obviously see that coming, that he has a cyst injury. He's out for some time, and you lose Chris Dielman to retirement, so the interior line has some new faces as well. I mean, this is something, you could say everything you will about what A.J. Smith did, but offensive line continues to be the biggest weak point for a team that needs to really focus on making that offense and scoring a lot of points to win games.
Kevin, another one of your teams, Miami. I thought somewhat surprisingly cut veteran quarterback David Garrard this week. Now, he was down most of camp following a knee scope, but boy, they've left themselves a little thin to that position, haven't they?
It surprised everyone, Wayne, when they kept four quarterbacks on the roster. I mean, of all teams to keep four quarterbacks, it's strange that Miami would, considering all the problems on the rest of their roster. And you knew that David Garrard or Matt Moore, one of those two guys, wasn't going to make it to week one. And it ended up being Garrard. Clearly, they were not thrilled about, his recovery from that knee injury, not enough confidence in him to be the number two. So they go with Matt Moore. And the thing about it, the sad thing for Dolphin fans and the Dolphins organization is earlier this summer and in the spring, everything leading up to the injury, David Garrard looked like the starter. He had won the respect of his teammates. He looked good in practice. All signs pointed to Garrard starting and Tannehill having a bit of a slower development. And now his injury, you throw Tannehill in there week one, Matt Moore is your number two, and Pat Devlin remains on the roster as a number three.
Wow, amazing. All right, Kevin Fishbane, thank you very much. Stay tuned. We've got the games coming up next on Pro Football Weekly. Welcome back to Pro Football Weekly. This is Wayne Larrivee along with Hub Arkush. In the NFL this weekend, the Giants and Cowboys began the season on Wednesday night, but with our weekend air times around the country, on Pro Football Weekly we focus on the Sunday and Monday action in the NFL. Familiar foes in more ways than one meet on the shores of Lake Erie as the Philadelphia Eagles open at the Cleveland Browns. Familiar? Well, Browns head coach Pat Shurmur worked on Andy Reid's staff in Philly. Browns GM Tom Heckert formerly worked in the Eagles' front office. And Andy Reid worked for Browns Vice President of Director of Football Operations Mike Holmgren in Green Bay. So a lot of guys know each other in this one. Plus, these two teams met in the preseason 2 weeks ago. All of that having been said, the Eagles have the goods in this one, and they better win. Jeffrey Lurie, as we talked about in the way we hear it, their owner, put Reid and his staff on the line. Playoffs and the playoff run or bust. Two teams hoping to have their bell cow runners available in week one to battle inside the dome in Minneapolis is the Jacksonville Jaguars, with Maurice Jones-Drew conveniently ending his holdout just in time to get paid, and the Vikings, who hope to have Adrian Peterson back from a season-ending knee injury last year. Well, word is, if either back plays, they'll play in more of a part-time role. Maurice Jones-Drew expected to play as a third-down back, and we would expect that Peterson, if healthy, will be able to play in this game, Hub, but probably not the leading role. Toby Gerhart expected to get the start. The Vikings are a work in progress. They rebuild the entire roster. Jags have a defense that's ready to play now, and that should be the difference in this one.
When the St. Louis Rams are going to Detroit to take on the Lions, it's the beginning of the Jeff Fisher era. It's also the beginning of a complete rebuilding, and nothing should be expected too early. They continue to to worry a great deal about the offensive line, which was unable to protect Sam Bradford last year. And if Bradford cannot get time, he cannot become the franchise quarterback they need. The one thing they are excited about is Steven Jackson back off seven straight 1,000-yard rushing seasons, and they've pumped up cornerback on defense. They've brought in a lot of youth there. They're going to try and get better. It's going to be a long year, and it's going to be tough as they go to Detroit for the opener. The Lions hoping that Ndamukong Suh is the guy who was the defensive rookie of the year in 2010 and not the sometimes puzzled player he was in 2011. The defense relies on it. The offense will be loaded again with Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson. But somehow, mysteriously, they didn't really address the running game during the offseason. Now Javid Best starts the season unable to go. Mikel LeShour is suspended, so you're back right where they finished last year, which was the 29th rushing team in the NFL. Will that be their Achilles heel? We'll have to keep a close eye. I've also got the Seattle Seahawks visiting the Arizona Cardinals, and few teams generated more buzz during the preseason than the Seattle Seahawks. Yes, it'll be the rookie Russell Wilson at quarterback. Is he ready? We're going to find out. If you go back and look at the film, he made a lot of great throws, but a lot of them were jump balls and back shoulder throws where receivers made great plays. Now they're playing for real, and this is a good test for him early, an Arizona team that is not all together. Now also keep an eye for Seattle on Marshawn Lynch. He's been having some back problems, and by midweek didn't know if he was even going to be able to go at running back or not. The rookie quarterback needs that protection. For the Arizona Cardinals, Wayne, we didn't know until the other day who the quarterback was, and we're not sure how long it's going to be John Skelton, if it's going to be Kevin Cobb. They've got a mess there. They went the entire offseason knowing this was the choice they had to make, got to training camp, and Kem Wisenhut honestly said he's not sure either one of them can play, but that's what they've got to go with. They've also got a big injury on the offensive line where left tackle Levi Brown is gone, and this is a team that will try and get better on defense. Played well the second half of the season last year. They do get to open this one at home. This is a big test for the Cardinals if they're going to be competitive in the NFC West this year.
And Hub, another division matchup involves the Carolina Panthers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers down to the Pirate Ship in Tampa. Greg Schiano, highly successful Rutgers coach, makes his NFL head coaching debut leading the Buccaneers. Meanwhile, Cam Newton literally wore out the Bucs last year. He produced 8 of his 35 touchdowns in the two games against Tampa, 4 on the ground, another 4 through the air. The Panthers will test what insiders say is a better defense for Tampa this season, with the likes of D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart, Mike Tolbert on the ground. They'll try to pound at Tampa as they did a year ago and test that new-look defense. Tampa looking to a strong draft and excessive free agent spending to shore things up overall. We'll find out right away if they accomplish that goal, Hub.
San Diego Chargers going to visit the Oakland Raiders, as we just discussed in the way we hear it. The Chargers, big problems on the offensive line. Don't know when they'll get Jared Gaither back. Chris Dielman, dirt as he was known, is done. They've got replacements on the interior of the line. Other than that, it was a good offseason for them. They upgraded the middle of the roster. They upgraded the defense with Jared Johnson. They're excited about drafting Melvin Ingram in the first round to get him some pass rush. But will they be able to protect Phillip Rivers, and will Phillip Rivers stop throwing the football away? As far as the Oakland Raiders, looks to be a rebuilding campaign. Carson Palmer should be better in his first full season there under rookie coach Dennis Allen. They hope to keep Run DMC, Darren McFadden, healthy, but a lot of issues on defense at all 11 spots, and Raiders a bit of an unknown as they go into their home opener.
Coming up, we start breaking down the big games on this kickoff weekend edition of Pro Football Weekly. This is Wayne Larrabee with Hub Arkush as we continue our look around the NFL on kickoff weekend. And in Chicago, the Bears will play host to the Indianapolis Colts. The big story here, obviously there are a number of subplots of this game, but it's Andrew Luck, Hub, the Indianapolis Colts quarterback. The new era begins at Indy, and it starts with a game against the rugged Bears.
You know, and you would think, what a horrible pit for him to have to go in, that feared Monsters of the Midway defense, and yet this is a different Chicago Bears team. Everybody is wildly excited about the offense, the additions of Brandon Marshall and Michael Bush and Jason Campbell as a backup, Alshon Jeffrey, the draft choice. They could be very explosive, but defensively, in addition to Brian Urlacher, Peanut Tillman had a pretty difficult preseason. Julius Peppers, the all-world defensive end, goes in with plantar fasciitis that they say is going to slow him down all season long. Even Lance Briggs doesn't appear to be in the best of football shape. And so the way Luck played in the preseason, this may not be as horrible as you expect. The Bears do have a problem rushing the passer. It's really curious to see what he will do when the lights go on for real. The Bears, obviously, in a home opener, are going to show up. They're going to be fierce. Even the injured guys will play a little bit harder. Good test for Luck, but I don't think it's the impossible test you might expect in most normal seasons with that Bears defense.
Offensively, the Bears loaded up, especially a wide receiver. Really like the addition of Brandon Marshall. big-time talent on the outside. And Alshon Jeffrey really showed up in the preseason, I thought, Hub. He looked good.
He did look very good. He's a possession receiver. He's not going to make a lot of big plays. He doesn't have great speed. But, boy, you need a guy with hands in a third-down situation. He'll be their go-to guy. A
couple of postseason teams from a year ago in the AFC. The New England Patriots visit the Tennessee Titans. The Tom Brady era in New England continues, while the Jake Locker era in Tennessee, Hub, is just beginning.
Yep, could be very interesting, Wayne. I like Jake Locker. I like him a lot. I didn't think he was going to be the season opening guy. I thought they'd go with Hasselbeck a little bit longer. Obviously, they feel he's ready. There's that scary stat we had earlier in the show. I don't think Bill Belichick has ever lost to a rookie quarterback starting his first game. Not a rookie quarterback, but an NFL quarterback starting his first game. It's going to be tough. They are at home. They'll have that advantage, but I don't know if the Titans defense is ready to deal with those two tight ends and everything else Tom Brady will throw at them.
Another playoff rematch from a season ago, but without Tim Tebow this time, the Pittsburgh Steelers are back in Denver to take on the Denver Broncos, and Jim Colony has the story.
When last seen in Denver, Steelers quarterback Ike Taylor was grasping for Broncos receiver Demaryius Thomas as Thomas broke free on the first play of overtime, went into the end zone that eliminated Pittsburgh in the wild card round. Of course, had Ben Roethlisberger been able to score late in the fourth quarter, it may have never come to that for the Steelers. And now Roethlisberger has to play the first game of the 2012 season in Denver.
It's already gone out of mind. I don't care. The last game we played was Carolina Panthers. So, it's our first game this year, so we're excited for it.
Of course, the quarterback that beat Roethlisberger and the Steelers in that game, Tim Tebow, was long gone, replaced by future Hall of Famer Peyton Manning. We'll get back to him in a second. But the Steelers having a lot of turnover as well. Mike Tomlin now without stalwarts such as Hines Ward, James Ferrier, and Aaron Smith.
As I sat in front of the group yesterday and looked at the 53+8, the practice squad guys, I thought it was a significant moment for us as we embark on this journey that is the 2012 season. But I also made a point that we're still very much a team in development, individually and collectively. We must be a team on the rise.
Well, even some of the guys who are back are in flux. Linebacker James Harrison recently had his knee scoped. Safety Ryan Clark can't play in altitude because he carries the sickle cell trait. And now the Steelers defense has to deal with Manning. But Manning didn't play at all last season because of a serious neck injury, so no guarantees that he'll be the Peyton Manning the Steelers are used to.
I know how hard I've worked to get back to this position, how much time I put in to rehabbing, how much time I continue to put in, how hard I've worked to try to get comfortable in this system. So that's really all that I know that I can do, and I'm going to play as hard as I possibly can.
And Manning will probably go through the familiar gyrations at the line of scrimmage, pre-snap, the stuff that safety Troy Polamalu and the Steelers have seen before.
We have our own objective, as he has his own objective, and what he's going to disguise or what kind of bluff he's going to have. So the less that we're concerned with what he does, the better I think we'll execute.
In Pittsburgh, I'm Jim Colony for Pro Football Weekly.
It should be interesting. Actually, two very different teams. Not just Peyton Manning in Denver, but veterans Aaron Smith, James Ferrier are gone from the Steeler defense. They've got, ready replacements to go. A different kind of Steeler team, though. They're going to throw the ball a little more than run it, I would think. Will Rashard Mendenhall play? Could be very interesting. Should be a real fun game to watch.
Interesting opener in Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Hub. I know you're high on the Kansas City Chiefs. I understand that. The Atlanta Falcons are trying to keep that window of opportunity open in the NFC. Chiefs are a trendy pick. You're not the only one picking them to do good things this year. But with their health restored and that type of thing, Falcons, meanwhile, hope to take advantage downfield of the passing game with Roddy White and Julio Jones. This is an interesting ball game.
Yeah, I think a lot of people realize the Chiefs were a very good team in 2010, devastated by injuries last year. They've got a coaching change. They've got everybody back and some nice additions in Peyton Hillis and Eric Winston. Question is health again, though. At least coming out of training camp, linebacker Derek Johnson didn't practice early this week. Cornerback Brandon Flowers has been limited. They're worried about those two. And remember, Tom Bahali, their best pass rusher, is suspended for the first game of the season for Atlanta. Can Matty Ice take this team on the road and win a big game? He hasn't done it in the playoffs. This is a great test for him in the opening.
All right. Our kickoff edition of Pro Football Weekly resumes after these messages. We resume with our kickoff edition of Pro Football Weekly, along with the publisher and editor, Hub Arkush. I'm Wayne Larrabee. And the RJ3 era starts for the Washington Redskins, Hub, as they head to New Orleans, where the Saints are being coached by an interim to the interim head coach. So I don't know how any of that's going to come out. But talk a little bit about the rookie quarterback for the Redskins. How's he look to you in preseason?
You know, Wayne, I can't say that I saw all four games, but I did see him in person in his second game when he started in Chicago, and he was actually extremely unimpressive. You can see he's a great athlete. He's got the arm. I think he's probably going to be a very good quarterback. He is not the finished product that Andrew Luck is, and you know that Steve Spagnuolo is going to have some special things dialed up for him. You're also going to have a frenzied crowd in the Dome. They're angry about the offseason. They're angry about the beating their team has taken. And when you look at the roster, this is still one of the most talented teams in the NFC. New Orleans Saints are going to be ready to explode, mainly on offense, but even defensively. Of course, Curtis Lofton's been banged up. I don't know if he can go for Jonathan Villamette linebacker, but I just think it's going to be a tough spot for RG3 to kick it off, and I expect the Saints to be sky high on this one.
Meanwhile, AFC East rivals collide as the Buffalo Bills, a trendy postseason pick by many, take on the New York Jets in the Meadowlands. And you know, when you've got Rex Ryan involved, you've always got a lot of verbiage. The Bills are the quiet ones in this matchup.
Yeah, you know, and I like everything that the Chan Gailey and Buddy Nix have done to try and rebuild this team. I'm just not a Ryan Fitzpatrick fan. I just wonder if they've got the quarterback. I even like the trade for Tarvarius Jackson because I've been waiting to see if that kid's ever going to get a chance with a team around him he can win with. Remember the 1 year he got to start? He was 8-4. He took the Vikings to the playoffs, and nobody ever wanted to let him be their starting quarterback again. But for now, it's Fitzpatrick, and he scares me a little bit. The defense is going to be very good. As far as the New York Jets, I don't see how they're even as good as they were last year because Plaxico Burress and his 8 red zone touchdowns are gone. I don't get what this team was doing. The idea that adding Tim Tebow makes all the difference in the world to me is silly, and I expect the Jets to struggle. Now, they are at home in an opener here with a Buffalo team that's a work in progress, but I don't see the Jets as a contender, and I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo starts fast here.
We'll have an important early season battle in the rugged AFC North as the Cincinnati Bengals visit the Baltimore Ravens. Our preview is provided by Craig Heist.
The Ravens have reached the playoffs in each of the last 4 years, but have fallen short of the Super Bowl each time, losing in the divisional round twice and the AFC Championship game twice, including last year against the Patriots. It's national TV on center stage for John Harbaugh and his team, but he also knows one thing about the Bengals.
The Bengals are going to be ready for it, too, and they'll be fired up. They're an excellent football team, one of the most talented young teams in the league, tremendous defense, a great young quarterback, maybe the best receiver in football, perhaps. Big physical offensive line, big physical defensive front, bunch of first-round picks in the secondary, good linebackers. I mean, you name it, they've got it. So it's going to be a big challenge, and we're excited about it. We're looking forward to it.
Harbaugh is referring to quarterback Andy Dalton and wideout A.J. Green, who both made the Pro Bowl as rookies. The Bengals haven't posted back-to-back winning seasons since 1981 and 1982, something they would like to put an end to this year. Dalton threw for 20 touchdowns last season with 13 interceptions, while Green had 1,057 yards receiving and 7 touchdowns. And Harbaugh's impressed with Green and the rest of the Bengals' offense.
You throw a ball anywhere near him, and you don't think he's going to be able to catch it, and he finds a way to go grab it. You know, he's got an amazing catch radius. He's big, tall, long. He can get behind the defense very quickly. And he's not their only weapon. You know, obviously Jermaine Gresham's another tremendously talented guy. They've got good running backs. It's a very talented group.
Meanwhile, the Ravens will once again look to quarterback Joe Flacco and running back Ray Rice to lead the offense. Flacco threw for more than 3,600 yards and at least 20 touchdowns for the third straight year, but his percentage was a career low 57.6%. Defensively, the Ravens will be missing Defensive Player of the Year Terrell Suggs until at least November with a torn right Achilles. Suggs posted a career-high 14 sacks last year. The defense has always been one of the most consistent in football, but linebacker Ray Lewis heads into his 17th season, while safety Ed Reed begins his 11th. It's the Ravens and Bengals from Baltimore on Monday night. I'm Craig Heist for Pro Football Weekly.
And just another fascinating ball club to keep an eye on, Wayne, as we look at the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think they were as good as the playoff trip indicated. They were 0-7 against playoff teams, 0-8 if you count the loss to Houston. Andy Dalton was a very pedestrian 80.4 passer rating and struggled the second half of the season. You trade Cedric Benson for Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, but now you got Jerome Simpson gone, and you bring in Brandon Tate, who busted out with the Patriots. I just don't get this Bengal team. Now, the Ravens, I think, could struggle a little bit with it. Age and some defections with Jarrett Johnson gone and Terrell Suggs injured, but boy, at home, a team that never misses the playoffs under John Harbaugh, you got a pretty heavy favorite here.
The Houston Texans play host to the rebuilding Miami Dolphins in the NFL opener in Houston. It's Joe Philbin's debut as an NFL head coach, the head man now of the Dolphins. One of five starting rookie quarterbacks this weekend is on the field for this one, and that's Ryan Tannehill of the Miami Dolphins. Now, by all accounts going into training camp, Hub, the word was is that they were going to try to bring this kid along slowly. He doesn't have a lot. He hasn't always played quarterback and doesn't have a lot of quarterback experience. But midway through camp, or maybe even earlier than that, the Dolphins made him their starter, and they're going with him into the regular season.
Yeah, and Wayne, remember what I said a little while ago about Andrew Luck could have found worse places to start his career in the NFL? Ryan Tannehill couldn't have. The Houston Texans, this is the best young defense in football. They rush the passer as well as anybody. Wade Phillips is going to be loaded for bear. Houston's they're a sexy pick for the Super Bowl. They're going to be out to prove it in their home opener. I think it's going to be a tough spot for the Dolphins and their rookie quarterback.
All right, stay tuned. We've got the headliner coming up next on Pro Football Weekly. The headliner is an in-depth preview of the top attraction on this weekend's NFL card. The San Francisco 49ers travel to historic Lambeau Field in Green Bay to take on the Packers in a matchup of the two winningest teams in the NFC from a season ago. Greg Matzik has the story.
The Green Bay Packers and San Francisco 49ers combined for a 28-4 record last season, but both had their seasons cut short in the playoffs by the eventual world champion Giants. The Packers arrived at their 15-1 record on the strength of an electric offense led by league MVP Aaron Rodgers. And while the defense has been upgraded with the likes of rookie linebacker Nick Perry and defensive tackle Jarrell Worthy, make no mistake about it, it's the offense, with all the weapons back from a year ago, plus Cedric Benson behind Rodgers, that strikes fear in the opponent. 49ers head coach Jim Harbaugh.
He'd be really fun to watch. He'd be something to watch if you didn't have to play against him, but I don't know of anybody that's ever played the quarterback position at the level that he's playing at it now and has been playing at. Just phenomenal.
Meanwhile, the 49ers surprised the NFL world last season with a 13-3 record and number two seed in the playoffs. Alex Smith controlled an effective offense, throwing for over 3,100 yards with just five interceptions, and now he has Mario Manningham and Randy Moss to go along with Michael Crabtree and Vernon Davis. But this Niners team looks to punish the opposition with a defense that ranked tops overall in the NFC last season and allowed the fewest passing yards in all of the NFL. They return all 11 starters from a year ago. They didn't make any changes. They didn't have to make any changes. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers will be on high alert.
It's going to be a fast game. I mean, this is a defense that, opposed to maybe some of the teams we played in the preseason, they really, like you said, close fast. I mean, you had Goldson and Whitner in there. As a quarterback who likes to move around, I think that's definitely on my mind. It's probably not going to be me getting out in the open, making a move, and trying to outrun somebody. It's, me getting out, looking to make a play with throwing the football when I have to run, making sure I figure out how fast those guys are coming and getting down.
It's the Packers and 49ers, teams with Super Bowl hopes and contrasting styles, Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field. For Pro Football Weekly, I'm Greg Matzik.
Wayne, this is the one I don't think anybody can wait for because everybody I see has one or the other of these teams picked to be the NFC Super Bowl representative. I like them to play in the NFC title game. I think there will be a rematch at the end of January. Which one comes out on top? Hard to say. But the 49ers, to me, are the most complete team as we head into the 2012 NFL season.
All right, Hub, time for the Handicapper's Corner featuring veteran handicapper Jim Feist of Jim Feist Sports Las Vegas.
Wayne, thank you. It is great to have Jim back with us again. Of course, you can follow Jim all week long at jimwins.org. And, Jim, five rookie quarterbacks. Actually, you've got 10 starting quarterbacks with 1 year or less experience, but I think everybody focused on the five rookies. How do you expect them to fare on the opening weekend of the season?
Not well at all, Hub. I mean, not that I'm picking on them individually, but I think that when you get rookies coming out, they're coming out of college, obviously. They got a lot to learn. They haven't seen defenses in the preseason like they're going to see in the first regular season game like the Colts. They're facing the Bears. Andrew Luck's going to see a different defense than he's seen in any preseason game. You've got a lot of that throughout the league. Washington is going down to New Orleans, which is a tough place to play. That's RG3. You got it all over the league. I don't see the rookies doing all that well. As a matter of fact, if I had to bet globally, I would go definitely against all of them. As far as the second-year guys, which makes up the 10 out of the 30-some teams we have, they're going to do a little bit better because they have more experience, more practice time, and so I can't make a global assessment on them.
All right, Jim, and I know there's one game that everybody wants to see. It's the San Francisco 49ers visiting the Green Bay Packers. Could be an NFC title game preview. I think the Niners may be the most complete team in the NFL right now. What do you think about this matchup?
Oh, I agree with that statement totally. The Niners, the coaching staff, the only question this team has is Alex Smith and whether he can do it. If it comes down to crunch time, he can do it. But they added some wide receivers that gives us some, you know, outside the numbers, passing game, which he's capable of hitting them. I saw him play in college. He's been in the pros 8-9 years. This is only the second, the first time he's had an offensive coordinator, offensive game plan 2 years in a row. So, I think he's going to have a pretty good year. The Packers, 15-1 last year, best passing offense, maybe next to New Orleans, but you can't stop their passing game, but their defense and running game is lacking. San Francisco is the more complete team. I like them a lot.
All right, Jim, and we enjoy having you with us each week. We will have Jim Feist from Jim Feist Sports every week of the season. Again, follow him at jimwins.org. And, Wayne, that's going to do it for this week's edition.
Stay tuned. Publisher's Fan is next. The Publisher's Pen with the publisher and editor of Pro Football Weekly, Hub Arkush. Hub?
Well, Wayne, on this one, I'm afraid I'm going to risk being a bit redundant, and I am going to be short and sweet and to the point. We've talked about this a little bit, but here it is. It's the opening weekend of the NFL season, and the powers that be, the NFL owners and the commissioner, Roger Goodell, decided to play these games with replacement officials. Now, mind you, these are not replacement officials who are anywhere near ready. These aren't BCS officials. These aren't Division II officials. These are semi-pro officials. These are high school officials. These are people who have proven during the preseason that while I'm sure they are wonderful men and women, are not ready to be officiating in the NFL. Both sides seem to agree, the owners and the officials, that there may be $3 million apart per season. They've agreed to a 10-year agreement. And why the owners and the commissioner would allow the season to start knowing that in this first weekend a game could be overturned by an incorrect call because these officials just aren't good enough, it just makes no sense to me.
Thanks, Hub. That'll do it for Pro Football Weekly this week. The coordinating producer and engineer of Pro Football Weekly is Randy Meyer. Pro Football Weekly originates from the studios of Syndication Networks in Chicago, Illinois. Now for Hub Arkush and the Pro Football Weekly staff, this is Wayne Larrabee. Thank you for listening. Enjoy opening weekend of the NFL. We'll catch you next week on Pro Football Weekly.